As a non-commercial radio station, Ken's FM survives in large part by the generosity of listeners like you, who value public radio and have become a member. Your donation continues to allow us to support local artists and musicians and play the music you want to hear, not what advertisers think we should play. It enables us to broadcast feature story news so you can hear the news, not opinions. Public radio doesn't have an agenda. We're not in the business of pushing our point of view. Our mission is simple. Reflect your interests, not the interests of some corporation. If you believe that having an independent, non-commercial, public radio station in your community is a good idea, become a member now. Find out how by visiting our website at www.kensfm.com. And remember, independence has a cost, and it's as little as $10 a month.
Join me, Randy Holster, Matthias, and the Big Swing for the hottest interviews with interesting guests from film, literature, sports, and more.
The Attitude Era, Monday, live, Monday.
You're listening to 89.1 Ken's FM, KNNZ-FM, Holly, Fargo-Moorhead. Independent public radio for Fargo-Moorhead and the Valley. Also on the web at www.kensfm.com.
And we are here on 89.1 Ken's FM, and let's get this thing started. And we are ready to go, and I do believe that we have Matthias on with us. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm ready for another live show on 89.1 Ken's FM.
And we do have a appearance of the Big Swing, if I'm not mistaken. Are you there?
I am here, yes, calling in from the great state of New York.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. All right, that sounds good. We're gonna talk about 15 minutes before our first guest shows up here. As a matter of fact, I've had to do some guest fandangling because our first guest had a emergency that they had to deal with, so we had to do some shuffling. So that's where we're at. So anyway, let's talk about this. We'll start with you, Big Swing. As you know, Matthias and I, we are Viking fans, and you are a Dallas Cowboy fan, and not to get cocky here, but one of our teams is doing well and one of our teams is not doing so well.
Yes, also one of your teams has a full roster and one of the teams does not. There is a team that I follow in training camp, and there is a team that is on the field right now. And there are guys that, you know, I know this roster up and down, like the back of my hand, since the minute the official season starts in March. And there are guys that I don't recognize. There are names out there on defense that I've never heard of, and I know every player. So it kind of sucks in that regard. When Micah Parsons has missed, what, 5 games now with a high ankle sprain, 4 games at least. Deron Bland, who led the league in pick sixes last year and set an NFL record, for pick sixes last year, has been out with a Liz Frank injury. They still have not activated him. Brandon Cooks on the offensive side of the ball, receiver, the other one across from CD, is out with an infection in his knee. He should be back next week. But, you know, and all of that with you know, some starters hurt and their backups also hurt. We've got third string guys out there. And to make matters worse, Dak Prescott pulled a hamstring in the game against Atlanta, a game that they almost won, probably should have won. And
yes, they should have.
And he's going to be out for some time. So for me, the season is tanked. For me, it's going to be one of those things where, you know, we'll be lucky to win 5 games, maybe 6. And that's fine because I have my sights set on Ashton Gentry. The running back from Boise State, who, for those of you who don't follow college football, has 1,500 yards and 20 touchdowns in 8 games right now.
I know he's going to be an NFL stud. There ain't no question about that. So
are you thinking that they're going to tank to get him? Well, I don't think they're going to tank. I think these players are still going to fight and compete. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, there's a little bit of pride, you would think, left in these teams. But I don't think we have the talent right now with pretty much all of our starters out on defense.
Well, you know, I'm biased with this statement, but I think Trey Lance is a pretty good backup, so you guys might win a few.
Yeah, but Trey Lance, every time he gets in the game, he's like a deer in headlights. Like, he's had talent, and really, like he's had talent. He had talent at NDSU, and he was like, you know, he was drafted what, third overall or something like that by San Francisco, and you know, he showed some promise, but literally, he can't. He struggles in preseason. I mean, how is he going to play in the regular season? So I just don't know if he's ready yet. I just don't know if his decision making is where it needs to be, but. You know, I guess we'll find out. I mean, we have Cooper Rush, who's probably going to start a couple of these games now from Central Michigan. But I'm sure we'll see Trey Lance at some point this year. But again, no running game. You know, Dalvin Cook isn't the player he used to be when he was in Minnesota. You know, he's a little older now. He's had some injuries. Rico Dowdle has been a backup his entire career. He's our starter. I think I'm faster than Ezekiel Elliott at this point. So, you know, for me, I think it's when our defense comes back and we have Diggs and Bland on the outside and Micah Parsons is back and DeMarcus Lawrence is back and Marshawn Nealon is back and all these guys are back, Cooper Rush might not have to do as much. Our defense might be able to keep us in some games. But now with Dak out and already with five losses, you know, I think this one's pretty much a wash. But you know, you go 12-5 for three straight years, that's tough to sustain. I mean, we have been one of the top teams in the league from September to the end of December. I'm not counting January. The last three years, that's really, really difficult to continue
to
do.
Is it time to fire McCarthy?
In the NFL. You know, I don't know. I mean, when you look at the alternatives, other than Bill Belichick or maybe the Titans' old coach there, but Mike Vrabel, other than Vrabel or Belichick, I really don't know who we would go after. Because remember, you know, we have an owner whose son is the GM. We have an owner who is a complete control freak and has to have the final say in everything and have his, you know, 83-year-old hand in the cookie jar for everything. And he's not going to want a coach that tells him, you know, hey, this is how it's going to be. This is the guy I want. This is how we're going to play. No, he has to dictate. For those of you who don't remember the 90s, Jimmy Johnson won back-to-back Super Bowls and got fired. When does that happen? Well, when Jimmy Johnson says, I want to make personnel decisions, Jerry Jones says, no, I want to make personnel decisions. And he says, and I'm the owner, and you're just the measly coach. So, scram. And we
unfortunately, in the NFL, it's what have you done for me lately, really, you know. Matthias, what do you think? I know you're usually wrestling on the weekends, but what do you think?
Go ahead, Big Swing.
No, you're good. You're good.
Sorry, I had to take my headset off for a second there. My head was starting to hurt. What were you asking, Agam?
I know you usually wrestle on the weekends. You probably don't get much time to watch football, but what do you think of our team?
Oh, well, the Vikings, I thought you were talking about the Cowboys there for a second, but with the Vikings, I know we got a good start. We had a really good start, you know, in the beginning of the season. We started to really show some promise. And, of course, you know, we had the setback on the face mask call with, I think it was the Rams, right?
Right.
Yeah, Rams with that. We should have had that win, but unfortunately, you know, the Vikings, you know, sometimes there will be some mistakes. With the Colts, last night we should have had more of a dominant performance, in my opinion. We should have made more plays in the very beginning, the very first half, but unfortunately that wasn't the case. So we really had to show up in the second half, which we did, and we came back with the victory. So I was happy about that.
21 points in the second half.
Yeah, exactly. We weren't showing any promises in that, but fortunately with my beautiful fantasy team, Justin Jefferson and our running back are really getting me some points, so I'm very happy for that. Jefferson didn't show up as much as, you know, he usually does, so, I mean, but it wasn't terrible. Hopefully it'll still give me enough points to have a victory in my league. I'm actually number one in my league.
Me
so,
too.
So I'm very happy about that. It's the first time I'm actually ever winning in my fantasy football league. So with the Vikings, you know, I still see promise. Sam Darnold really just needs to stay focused as he does. Justin Jefferson really just needs to keep outputting what he's doing. And, I mean, yeah, I know Jefferson is one of our main targets as a wide receiver, which, of course, he should be. He's one of the best receivers in the whole NFL. If not the best. And, yeah, like I said, he's usually our main target, but it seemed like the other receivers and tight ends and stuff of the Vikings were really trying to show up against the Colts. So I could say as long as they keep their pace and Jefferson just keeps doing his business and we keep doing what we're doing, I think we're going to be pretty well set this year.
All right, we got about 5 minutes before our first guest calls in. But, you know, I'll tell you what, Matthias and Big Swing, as you know, a good friend of mine, one of my groomsmen, who is a big Dallas Cowboys fan as well, he and I have a bet this season. And the bet is one adult beverage per loss win difference. So right now I'm up plus +3.
Nice.
So
well, and, you know,
I think by the end of the season, I'll be able to get a pretty good hangover.
Oh, probably. I've been talking about this all week on my show, too, up here. I am plumb surprised, and it's ironic you guys wear a plum color. I am plumb surprised that Sam Darnold has done what he's done so far. You know, when you guys drafted J.J. McCarthy, I was like, oh, J.J., he's going to be good. Then he goes down, he has that knee injury there preseason, and I was like, oh, you guys are kind of screwed. Well, no, Sam Darnold is looking pretty good for you guys. Obviously, Addison is a great complementary receiver. Justin Jefferson might be the best receiver in the league. But, you know, it's funny. Matthias was talking about the Colts last night, and I was covering
the game. Darnold could win a comeback player of the year the way he's playing right now.
He could. But correct me if I'm wrong here, because I mentioned this last night, Icon, and I know you would you're like the stat man. I know you would probably know this. We were talking about it today because the game was last night. Wasn't it the Colts, I believe it was last season or the season before, where you guys in that same building, U.S. Bank Center there.
Two years ago, we were down 33-0.
Greatest comeback. Wasn't it the greatest comeback in NFL history, I believe it was, right, in terms of points?
They were talking revenge, and they didn't do it.
Yeah, well,
the,
I mean,
the
they didn't do it.
Talking revenge,
I mean,
they didn't do that.
Oh, the Colts are talking about that. Yeah, I hear you. Well, I mean, hey, you know, I remember watching that game, and I was shocked. I mean, that to me, again, outside of the whole Vikings thing, like I don't care about the Vikings one way or another, you know, unless we're playing them. To me, that was better than the Minneapolis Miracle, and I say that simply because just the sheer special moment. I mean, anybody can have a fluke play on the last play of the game type of thing. It happens all the time. But the fact that they came back from 33 points in a quarter and a half was amazing to me. So I wish you guys well. I really do. I really do. I'm glad that Green Bay is starting to struggle. I hate the Packers. We can't seem to beat them, and I hate them. One team you guys got to keep your eye on, though, is Detroit. And Detroit was my preseason Super Bowl pick for the NFC, even over my Cowboys before all of our injuries. Detroit was my preseason Super Bowl pick, so you have to watch out for them. They're playing, even without Aiden Hutchinson, they're disgusting right now. So you got to watch out for them. But Anyways, Icon, I know we got
we got our guests ready. So I'll tell you what, we're gonna take a commercial break. Matthias, I'm sorry, I'm so used to Big Swing not being there. Big Swing, you need to join us. I know you're pretty popular out there in New York on your station out there, but you need to come hang with us a little more. But we're gonna take a little quick commercial break. We'll be right back with these messages after our first guest, so stay tuned, everybody. All right, we'll be right back.
The new Wood Springs Fargo, located at 1090 35th Street North at the I-29 and 12th Avenue North interchange, is an extended stay, pet-friendly hotel with kitchenettes in every room, including a stovetop, full-size fridge, and microwave, plus a big 40-inch flat-screen TV with free Wi-Fi. You can book a room at 701-582-1600 or online at www.woodspring.com. Wood Springs Suites of Fargo, rated 4.2 by TrustScore.
Ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle, taking in at the last minute, he's a funny man, he's a New York-selling best author, and he's the man about town. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, on your mark, get set, it's Jeffrey Mark Feldman.
Well, hey, this is just Jeffrey Mark. You're listening to the Attitude Era Monday Live Mondays on 89.1 Ken's FM. Your hosts are the Icon with the Big Swing. Ooh. Also featuring Scott the Director Hand and the Modern Nightmare Matthias.
You know, I do apologize, Jeffrey. I tried to do a little humor there. I was going to say, on your mark, it said it's Jeffrey Mark. He is our field man, and I messed that up, so that was my fault. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I haven't used Fidelman in like 30 years.
All right. So here's what we're going to do here, Jeff, and I do appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule on such short notice. We got 30 minutes of fun time here with you, but if you could give us a little background about yourself, and then we'll have some fun with the interview. Go ahead.
Sure, this is fascinating. Usually when I get booked to do radio shows like this, it's through my publicist, Harlan Bull, and he sends me a little email saying they want to talk about this book or that song or this album or your sex life or whatever it is. But I'll tell you that I'm celebrating 50 years in show business. I got started as a kid on the stage, regionally and on Broadway, became a stand-up comedian, became a jazz singer, became a producer and writer and director of television, a best-selling author of books like The Lucy Book and Ethel Merman, the biggest star on Broadway, and Ella Fitzgerald, an authorized biography. So I wear lots of hats in show business. I've been doing it for a long time, and I promise I'll use PG language.
Well, yeah, we do appreciate that. We don't want to get our FCC license pulled because...
No. I know the difference between terrestrial radio and a podcast.
All right. And, you know, speaking of Harlan, I'll tell you what, he has been a heaven sent for our show, and we have he has got us many great guests over the years, like Donnie Most comes to mind, and several others. So, and Mrs. Cunningham from the Happy Day, her son, he also got
Marion Ross.
Right.
Marion Ross's son, who's brilliant and funny and gorgeous. So,
and he also got
almost. Almost all of Harlan's clients are friends of mine, so it's a nice Harlan Bull family of people, and I'm sure our friends and fans out there don't really care who my publicist is, but I do because I think he's about the best man on the entire planet.
Well, I love the guy. I can't thank him enough for all he's done. As a matter of fact, not that anybody cares, but we are now booked on our schedule through the end of 2026. It used to be a hard getting guest. Now it's just one after another, and I'm actually booking them 2 years out. It used to be booking them a week out, or in your case, booking them 20 minutes out. But we're going to have a lot of fun. You know, you um, You have a few credits on IMDb.com, so if any of this information is inaccurate, fire them, not us. Behind the Fame, the Mary Tyler Moore, Bob Newhart. Beyond the Fame, the Monsters, the Addams Family. Inside Television, the Greatest. Cheers. Inside Television, the Greatest. I Love Lucy. Now, you mentioned that you wrote a book about Lucille Ball. I'm sure you've had a chance to meet her in person, correct?
Yes.
And what was that
so
like?
Give me a question I can be funny with. What was it like? She was appearing at what's now called the Paley Center in New York City, which is a depository for really rare old videotapes and kinescopes of early television. And she didn't lecture. She was there just to answer questions and answers with people. And the girl who questioned her before I did rambled on and on and on and on about how she was attending some kind of an acting school and they wouldn't give her any parts and they weren't being nice to her. And I'm not exaggerating. That's how she spoke. And Miss Ball picked up her handbag, reapplied her lipstick, reapplied her mascara, adjusted her bra straps, and then turned to the girl and said, "Are you still talking?" And the girl stopped whining.
Brutal.
And Miss Ball said, "Look, it's one of two things. Either you're at the wrong school or you have no talent. You can fix the first one. You can't fix the second one. Now go out there and help yourself."
Wow,
so
that's interesting.
Was a little, well, because this girl was wasting her time, and I don't think people who are so good at what they do and are so focused on their craft don't have time for whiners. Hey, I have a problem. Help me fix it. That's a different story. But the microphone was given to me. She couldn't see. The lights were in her eyes. "Yeah, there's a boy out there," back when I could be called a boy. "There's a boy out there with a red beard." And her husband, Gary Morton, said, "Lucy, there's nobody out there with a red beard." And they handed me the microphone. I said, "Well, there's not much left on top, but there is a red beard." And I made her laugh. Ah, ha, 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 ha. That right there could have been the end of it for me. I made Lucille Ball laugh. But I asked her a question. I said, "Your good friend Jack Benny said the reason people tuned into these iconic sitcoms was because the stars, they repeated these bits of business they were looking for, and they tuned in, like, which business are they going to do this time?" And I said, you dropped two of them. You stopped doing the crying jag, you know, wah, and you stopped using the spider. Now, I'll explain what that means in a second. She was stunned that I knew the word. The spider is that noise Lucy Ricardo made when she was caught short doing something or lying, and she'd go, that's called the spider. And she looked at me and she said, "Young man, that is the best question anyone's ever asked me about my craft." And then for 20 minutes answered question after question, and I was with a buddy who had been a secretary in the Navy and took every word she said down in shorthand, and that eventually became the spine of the Lucy book, and the new Lucy book is coming out next year. So nothing terribly funny there, but hopefully interesting.
Well, you know, I can't remember for the life of me the name of the guests that we've had, because we've had so many, and I feel guilty I don't. But there was a gentleman that we had on that also hung out with Lucy on set and everything, and he wrote a book about her. And
Michael Stern.
That's it, Michael Stern, yep. There you go. Thank you,
Michael.
Michael
and I have been friends for like 37 years.
And
he's a producer now with Dr. Phil.
Oh, really? Well, I'm gonna have to. I still have his number. He probably won't answer the phone when I call, like most people do, unlike you. But I'll have to have him get him back on so he can talk to us about Dr. Phil. We have a great guest here. As a matter of fact, we have Jeffrey Mark as our guest here, and we still got plenty of time, and we got about 21 minutes. I'm gonna send it on over to Matthias, have him ask a question, and we're gonna come back to me. I'm gonna ask you the tougher question. So
Matthias, Nightmare, what do you got? Go ahead.
Well, yes, you are talking to the man from every woman's greatest dream and every man's worst nightmare, North Dakota's number one heel, current reigning, defending, undisputed APW World Heavyweight Champion, NSC World Tag Team Champion, General Manager of Flashback Pro Wrestling, and honorary member of the New World Order, Matthias. Welcome onto my part of the program. Well, as a fellow performer and stuff like that, and being a comedian, I got to ask, because as a fellow performer, before I'm out to go out and do what I do best, and that is punching people in the mouth for money, whereas you will go out and make people laugh for entertainment, money, profit, whatever it is, and do all these kind of shows and stuff, what is one of your typical ways of dealing with haters or what do they call those? Hecklers or anything like that. Whereas I label them morons, idiots, losers. what is it? Banjo strumming hillbillies, slack jaws, that kind of thing. How do you tend to deal with those kind of people?
Well, I was very, very. It's a good question, by the way. Nobody's ever asked me that before, so it's a great question, actually. I was mentored by many people. I'm the luckiest son of a gun on the planet. One of them was Milton Berle. And Uncle Milty gave me lessons on how to handle an unruly crowd, which I don't usually get very often. Usually my audiences are loving, and they're happy to be there, and they have a great time. But you do get people who have had one drink too many, or they don't like who I vote for, or they don't like how I pray or who I sleep with, and or they just don't like redheads. And they can get a little mouthy. And I've got to size it up very quickly. And I either make them feel silly, like, you know, you are taking away the rest of the audience who have paid money, their time in having a good fun because you're not having any. Well, if you're not having any fun, you know, go. I'll pay the check for you. You can leave. But if you want to stay, great. If they persist, then I get a little naughty. And I have things to say to people who deserve it that I cannot say on a radio station. But I know all the words, and they've been taught to me by the best comedians in the world. So I have protection. I try to give them an out first. But if they persist, they're usually very sorry afterwards. See, I don't hit them in the mouth with my fist. I hit them in the mouth with my tongue, and it hurts just as much.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, the ending part there made it sound kind of, you know, different than what I'm used to. Like you said, you can hit them in the mouth or hit them in the face with your tongue, whereas, you know, I like to just physically put them to sleep. Because not only being a professional wrestler as I am and a professional rear end kicker, unfortunately I can't swear on this show, or else you know exactly what I would be saying. But I've had to take care of plenty of window licking slack jaw hillbillies with their bratty children who think that they own the world just because their parents paid $5 to come watch me do what I do best. And they can wear their shirts of my opponents while I rip them apart and embarrass their little friends and heroes right in front of them. Now, before I go off on one story, how would you tell us one crazy story you've had where it was a crowd member that maybe either, A, took it a little too far where you finally had to say enough's enough, or what's one of your craziest kind of stories that you have in that type of situation where you've actually had to finally say enough was enough?
Actually, the craziest story like that did not happen on stage. It happened at a party. And I was invited to a party. I live in Palm Springs, out in Palm Springs. And as often time happens when I'm invited to a party, sooner or later, the conversation gets around to show business. Not because I bring it there, but because, you know, people, if they know who I am, they just go there. If they don't know who I am and I tell them who I am, oh, let me ask you this or let me say that. But every once in a while, you end up with a smart aleck. And unfortunately, this time, Miss Smart Aleck was the host of the party. And the topic of conversation was that back in 2001, there was a 50th anniversary party held for I Love Lucy on the original I Love Lucy lot. And everybody was there, and Desi Arnaz Jr. showed up drunk and disorderly, and the police had to drag him. I said, just a moment. I said, first of all, Desi is a friend of mine, and you're saying words I can't use on the radio about my friend, and I don't like it. Secondly, I was there. I was a witness to all of this. And it wasn't on the I Love Lucy set. It was on the Burns and Allen set because the I Love Lucy soundstage was being used for something else. And Desi came in completely sober. I was the first person he saw. He hugged me and kissed me. There was no liquor on his breath. And he was a perfect gentleman and a wonderful ambassador with the family all evening. And the host threw me out of the party. How dare I contradict him? And I said, how dare you spread lies about my friends? So that was the worst. Second worst is probably my old man would come to see me perform, and because he was terribly jealous of me, would shout out my punchlines before I got to them.
Uh-oh.
And he got banished. He was no longer allowed to come see me perform. I took care
wow.
of that privately. I really try not to embarrass people when I'm on the stage, but also usually between my humor and my songs, people are having such a good time. There's no, you know, reason for them to get unruly. And if they do, I have the material to make sure they feel about 2 inches tall, which is probably the size of the stuff they've got.
Well, you I got to follow up on that real quick. Besides, you have another question, or can I do my follow-up?
Well, I was going to go into, like, my stories, but, like, with being a wrestler and stuff like that, you know, I've had people say some horrible, again, stuff you can't say on the radio. I've had children say stuff I can't say, their children saying things that I can't even say on the radio, and I've had people jump in the ring after me trying to fight me. I've had kids try to, you know, sucker punch me while I'm in the middle of my matches. But basically, it's a whole lot of swearing and stuff. But there's been a couple of times where people try to stand up, and I've had to, you know, put them in their place. And it hasn't gone to the extreme where I've actually had to, you know, knock somebody out and really go blow to blow with them. I mean, after this guy jumped in the ring after me one time, and I basically put him in a front chin lock immediately when he charged me. And I said, and I quote, and I'm not going to use the swear words, but I said, if you make one more effing move, I'm going to effing break your mother effing neck. And I said, you will not walk out of this ring on your own 2 feet if you make another move. And he basically, you know, noodled up. And I tossed him out of the ring, and the people came and got him and got rid of him before I got my hands on him. But usually it's a bunch of people saying, you know, you suck, all this kind of stuff. And it's weird how parents will raise their children apparently so highly and so well and so respectfully, but yet when people come to watch me perform, and if they don't like me, their children will say even worse words than what the adults will do, so then I got to yell at the parents for telling their kids all these potty mouth words.
If I may interject a thought here, the problems I might have in an audience and the problems you might have of an audience, there's a word that covers almost all of it, jealousy. They're jealous.
Absolutely.
We're in a spotlight. They're jealous. We're famous. They're jealous. We're getting attention. For you to be the kind of wrestler person you're describing, although I've never seen you, I assume you have to be in really good shape and probably good looking, as many of the professional wrestlers are. And people are jealous of it. How dare he be? Who does he think he is being famous? I've had people ask, who do you think you are? I said, I'm Jeffrey Mark. Who the hell do you think you are? You know, I've been working for 50 years to get this kind of attention. What have you done? Let's talk about what you've done. And, of course, they got nothing to back that up with. And the violent nature of what you do, that probably brings out testosterone in people who probably have had a little too much to drink. But, again, it's jealousy. They'd love to be you. And since they can't, they're angry.
Absolutely.
So, you know, there are so many things I could say here if this was not terrestrial radio, but it boils down to not my problem, not my circus, not my monkey. Go away.
Not my pig, not my farm.
Jeffrey Marks, our guest here. We're on 89.1 Kansas FM. We got about 10 minutes left. And for those of you who listen to the show on a regular basis, if you go to our Facebook page, Attitude Era Monday Live Monday, like that. Go to Attitude Era Monday Live Monday on Facebook, like that. Do a $10 a month donation to Power of the Tower. We'll get you automatically qualified to win an autographed picture from past guests, current guests, or future guests. And, Jeff, I know it's a short notice, but would you be willing to send a few autographs for giveaways?
I will. I have book plates that I'll autograph, and I'll send a bunch of them autographed. And to the two of you, of course, also. So, yes, you can do that.
Perfect. All right. So, you know, one thing I do want to ask you, Jeff, following up on what you're talking about, hecklers, we had this we used to have a great comedy club here in Fargo, North Dakota, or Fargo, Moorhead, called Courtney's Comedy Club. And this one comedian that was up on stage, a great guy, a really funny guy, but there was a real a drunk and he had to be asked to leave. Actually, they made him leave, actually. And he told us a story about how he was at this one comedy club, and, you know, he was in Michigan, I believe it was, and he had his own car. And basically, if you're in Michigan and you have a different license plate from a different state, they probably know which car belongs to the comedian. And he said he ran out in the car. He looked at his car. He said, "Oh, my God." Then he goes back in and said, "Hey, someone just urinated all over my vehicle." And they're like, "Oh, that was probably Mark. He does that to comedians he doesn't like." How can venues just allow that to happen? That shouldn't happen, should it?
They allow it because the customer is always right. And they don't want to turn away any, especially if he's a big drinker. Because that's where the money is being made. Not on the tickets you pay to see us. The money is made in liquor. That's where the big profit is. And they're not going to scare away people who drink a lot. You mentioned that club in Fargo. By the way, I have a little story about that. Joan Rivers performed at it, 40 years ago or 35 years ago. And she got heckled. And she felt underappreciated there, and she would tell anyone who would listen to comedians, if you're flying to appear at that club in Fargo, pray that you go down with the plane.
And go ahead.
Her other joke was the people who attend this club, high society, high heels and sweat socks.
But yeah, so and I gotta completely agree with you there on the whole liquor sales thing, because for instance, I work at a bar. I previously worked at a bar, and I kind of still do every blue moon, called the Windbreak here in Fargo, and I'm a security guard. And typically they'll try to, like, if you're drunk and you're causing a lot of issues, we'll kick you out. I mean, I've had stories of people pulling knives, guns, all this stuff out at me. The things I've seen, the things I've had to do, the people I've had to fight is just unreal. And the amount of drunk people we get so quickly, so fast, because they're going to be the ones buying all the people's shots. They're the big money people, and they just get plastered. And yeah, if they do something stupid, they'll get banned for a week or two, you know, just to make sure, you know, everything's clear, and then they might be able to come back. But we have live bands, and for us, we pay the band to come in, but then we rely basically on the cover charge that we charge to come in, plus our liquor to pay for the band that we just we paid. So it's like we almost want the people to get that drunk and that liquored up, but then, of course, we don't want them to fight, and we don't want them to do stupid stuff. But when you're liquored up, like you never know what you're capable of until you're in that situation.
It's a fine line to walk. Usually clubs that serve liquor as opposed to a bar are a little less tolerant of people overindulging because they have a reputation to keep up and they don't want to get a bad name among other performers that no one will work there. I must be transparent. I'm 35 years clean and sober. I could certainly tell you tons of drunk stories of stupid things. Thank you. That I did when I was drunk. But as a clean and sober person, going to performing in clubs, I'm a little more sensitive to the people who are drinking, and sometimes I'll play to them. If I sense that they're there to have a good time, then I'll play right to them because they're having a good time. And the ones who are looking like they're ready for a fight, I ignore them completely. I don't even look at them while I'm performing. And unfortunately, it used to be that places like this had bouncers and security people, and as the economy has changed through the years, there's less people willing to stand up and say, you know, shut up or get out. It's a different ball game. And if I would have known that I was talking to a wrestler, I have lots of wrestling stories because I have a lot of friends back in the 70s and 80s who were professional wrestlers who I got to hang out with and spend time with. And on the whole, I really enjoyed their company.
Oh, wow.
We
do have about 5 minutes left. Guys,
saying if we don't get to all of it, I'll have to make sure to get you to get in contact with you and stuff, because I'd like to know who you got to hang out with in stories, because I love to talk about pro wrestling and my stories. So it's always interesting to, you know, have that similar
I'll drop a name, Sergeant Slaughter, but the story
had his daughter on with us. She's awesome.
He was awesome, but I can't tell the story on radio. So unfortunately, most of my stories with professional wrestlers, other than I enjoyed their company, they were very much into my career, and I was, you know, I was surprised how nice they were to me. But, you know, the kinds of things we did socially, I can't really talk about on the radio.
Well, here's what I'd like to do, Jeff. You know, we only had 30 minutes with you, and I do, like I said, I do appreciate that you came on a very, very short notice. You know, but you and I have been talking together for a long, long time. Your publicist wouldn't be upset with me, I would like to get you back on the show again, and we can just talk about your experience with wrestlers. I think that'd be an interesting topical show.
All right, I'd be happy to look. I'm a ham. I love performing. I love interviewing people. I love being interviewed by people. I made you laugh, I think, once or twice in this half hour. I'll try to do better next time because I'll be more prepared, because I literally did not know what you wanted to talk about tonight, so I had nothing prepared. But I love being on with you, and, you know I like you.
Well, let me ask you this. How far do you have your calendar booked out?
It depends on what night you're talking about. I'm booked months in advance on Monday nights.
Yeah, we're only on Monday nights, unfortunately.
You know what? Pick a Monday night between now and the end of the year if you have an open spot, and I'm sure I could make it.
Well, actually, like I mentioned, we're booked up until the end of 2026, and I want to get you on before that. Let me see. Let me look at our schedule here real quick.
I can sing a song for our friends who are listening.
why don't we do this? And I will get you on earlier if I have an opening. But why don't we do this? Why don't we put you on April 21st, 2025, same time, 9:15, and we'll talk wrestling. How's that sound? And I'll send you reminders.
That sounds great. Just Send me a message on private message on Facebook, so I'll put it in my calendar. And I don't care who you vote for. I care that you vote. Would all of you who are listening, please make sure that you exercise your right and vote for who you like. I won't even mention who's running. But don't stay home. Get out and vote.
Yes, and we are going to talk a little bit about that at the end of the show, too. So it's an important time, and it is what it is. Unfortunately, because we're an independent station, we can't voice our opinions, just give the scoop. But I'll tell you what,
why I said what I said.
You have been so awesome, Jeff. I appreciate you, and we want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule. You are wonderful, and we are going to get you back on again, definitely.
And you guys have my phone number, so give a call.
All right. Thanks, Jeffrey. Have a good night.
Good night to you both. A pleasure to be on.
All right. That was Jeffrey Mark. We got an interesting guest coming up here in a little bit. We're going to take another commercial break and a quick timeout. And Matthias, my next guest, I might be able to get you booked up in a wrestling. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after the messages. Stick around.
The new WoodSpring Suites of Fargo, located at 1090 35th Street North at the I-29 and 12th Avenue North interchange, is an extended stay, pet-friendly hotel with kitchenettes in every room, including a stovetop, full-size fridge, and microwave, plus a big 40-inch flat-screen TV with free Wi-Fi. You can book a room at 701-582-1600 or online at www.woodspring.com. WoodSpring Suites of Fargo, rated 4.2 by TrustScore.
Ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle, we have a rock and roller, we have a wrestler, and we have everything rolled up in one entertaining package. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, I give you the rock doll herself. She is Tempest Crane.
Well, how you doing, babies? This is Tempest Rock Doll. I can't see enough, I can't feel enough, and I can't get enough. You're listening to the Attitude Era Monday Live Mondays on 89.1 Ken's FM. And you know what? I'm going to use it, baby, and I'm going to lose it, baby. I don't care what you say. You're hard time host with the most, and that's right. I said hard time host. A jamming and jiving with a man only known as the Icon, along with the Big Swing, passing like a rocket shot from a $2 pistol. And let's not forget the man that don't stop for anyone, Scott, the director hand, and what we can only call the modern nightmare, my thighs. Lord have mercy and say a prayer, because this train don't stop till it's time to say goodnight, Irene. How the hell are you?
Well, hey, it's great to have you with us, and good to have you on our show. We have a lot of stuff that we want to cover, and towards the middle of the interview, we'll talk about the upcoming wrestling promotion, the idea that you have, and maybe we can get Matthias the book with you. We're going to have some fun. Like I said, we got plenty of time here. We got a good 30 minutes. But first off, you are, I guess you could say, a rock and roller, would you say?
I would say that. I've been at it for 30 years. I'm not qualified for much else.
And you've put out a few albums or CDs, as the kids nowadays would say, and you performed all over.
Yeah, I've done 7 albums. We're actually working on our 8th right now. It's not going to be out till sometime in the new year. I just built a new recording studio. But, yeah, I've played all over the place, Spain, Amsterdam, New Zealand, the U.K., 38 out of 50 states. At one point, we were doing up to 200 shows a year. Then, as most rock and roll bands have it happen, it all train wrecked. And it took a few years to rebuild, and then COVID hit and shut everything down. And things are still trying to recover from that, to be honest.
And with all that said, now you, I do believe, are based to our next door neighbor in Minnesota, correct?
Yeah, I'm based out of Minneapolis. At least that's where all my stuff is kept.
All right. you keep yourself in Minneapolis and you live in like Las Vegas, right? That'd be fun, right?
I would do that. Yeah, yo, winter's coming up. This is Minnesota. Yes, I would go to Las Vegas. Hell yeah.
Well, it's like I keep telling everybody, where we come from, we have four seasons. winter, flood, road construction, and football, you know.
Well, but I actually grew up in Grand Forks, North Dakota, so I'm quite familiar with both the winters and the floods.
Well, yeah, and it really hasn't changed, but, you know, and I don't want to get political or do anything like that, but, you know, they always talk about global warming, and like this last winter that we had, as you know, was not bad at all. Actually, it was pretty decent, and I guess the way that they're saying it with this global warming thing, the winter that we had last week was going to start being like the normal thing. So it's kind of cool, and I hope that's true because, I mean, I don't mind the cold or anything, and I don't mind the snow either. As long as it doesn't pile up past our hips, I'm good.
Well, the thing with North Dakota is you get snow in, you know, October or November, and it's a coin toss of whether it's going to be there in June or not.
Right. And,
you just don't know
that,
if it's ever leaving.
Right. We have Tempest Crane as our guest here. We got 25 minutes here left with Tempest. We need to pause 10 seconds for station identification. We'll be right back after this. 10 seconds for station identification.
You're listening to 89.1 KENZ FM, KNNZ FM, Holly, Fargo-Moorhead. Independent public radio for Fargo-Moorhead and the Valley. Also on the web at www.kenzfm.com.
You know, there is one thing I'm going to ask you about. Then we'll talk a little bit about wrestling, and we'll send you on over to Matthias, our resident wrestler, who might be willing to work for you. But I think you could probably beat him up. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. One thing that I'm kind of curious about is when I made that cool little collector's card for you for your guest card. And we've had you on a couple times. You're actually now a member of the Third Timers Club. I've always been curious about the whole deal with the grinder and how you, like, do the spark thing. Would you be willing to tell us how you invented that, how you came up with that?
Well, I didn't invent the grinder. That's a power tool. You can go down to the hardware store and buy one of those yourself if you want one.
Well, I mean, how it got part of your act.
How it got part of my act, well, it's a combination of things. There was a band back in the 80s called the Plasmatics, and a singer, her name was Wendy Williams, Wendy O. Williams, and she used to take and use a chainsaw on guitars on stage. And she also did a bunch of other, like, just crazy, crazy stuff, like driving. She should do videos and drive her own stunt bus and things like that through a wall of TVs sitting on the top of it. She was in a B-movie called Reform School Girls. She was definitely a punk rocker. And she was a huge influence on me because she taught me that you could still be a woman and be in rock and roll and still kick ass. You didn't have to be this delicate flower. And so she was a big influence on me. And later in probably around 2003, 2004, I ended up joining a band here in Minneapolis called All the Pretty Horses. And we did quite well. And it was kind of a dream come true to get into the band. All happened at the right time. And one of our dancers, Shannon Blowtorch, used to use the grinder on kind of a metal cod piece that she had made on stage. And she would gyrate and dance, and during the last number that we played, she'd use this grinder on that. Sparks would go everywhere, and people would go, "Oh, my God, look, all the sparks!" You know, and it's not really a talent. You're pressing a button on a power tool. but I thought, well, wouldn't it be cool if I took and I did that on a guitar, kind of combining what she was doing with what Wendy Williams did with the chainsaw on the guitars. And so I mount a metal plate along the bottom of the strings on my guitars, and towards the end of our set, I'll grab the grinder, and I'll hit that metal plate. Sparks will go everywhere. Sometimes they'll go into me. I pick out metal shards. And the crowd really enjoys it and everything. It's kind of a double-edged sword in that respect because I will play my butt off that entire night, and I will sometimes do a fantastic solo or something like that. You know, and I get like three people out there golf clapping, "Oh, yeah, really nice." And then I bring out the grinder, and I hit the grinder on a piece of metal. Once again, something anybody on earth can do. and people go nuts for it. Oh, my God, look at the grinder. Yeah, great. I can turn on a power tool. So I guess that's a skill. I don't know.
Well, you know, I do love that. It's really, really cool. I've never seen it live, but eventually I do plan on coming to one of your shows. But I'm going to ask you this, and I know it's just in the developmental stage right now. Then I'll send it over to Matthias. He can maybe give
now you mentioned
want
to come to one of my shows. Do I get a chance to self plug something here?
You sure
do.
Go ahead.
Okay,
you sure
we've
do.
Got
go
Valhalla Fest coming up November 9th at the Skyway Theater in Minneapolis. 13 bands on 2 stages. My band, Harsh Reality, headlines Studio B. We go on at 6 o'clock, and if you want to see that grinder, just come to town and come to the show.
All right, that's awesome. And, you know, I was gonna ask, and I'll come back and ask that, but how many guitars have you went through that you've actually nicked or whatever because you you grinded too much?
Oh, pretty much every single one I've done it on.
Wow.
I've taken chunks out of my own flesh.
Jeez. And we'll definitely talk about
but
that.
The thing
is
rock and roll isn't supposed to be safe. It's not supposed to be safe. You go to see a rock and roll show, you want to see something you can't see every day. You don't want to go to a rock and roll show and see a bunch of guys dressed in flannel, staring at their shoes, singing about how sad their life is. You want to have an escape from reality. You want something larger than life. You want aliens to land on that stage if you can get it.
And
I
that's
want to
why
give them something
that's
like
why we
that.
Do the show, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things that my show has in common with wrestling is the fact that it's a larger-than-life production.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. You have plans, and then we'll go to Matthias. You have plans on wanting to launch a wrestling promotion. It's in the developmental stages now, and we definitely want to help you promote that. What do you plan on doing with that, or what would you like to do with it, or see it develop?
Let's choose our words a little bit carefully. I'm not going to do a wrestling promotion. I want to put on a show that involves wrestling. So being a wrestling promotion is something that is well and far way above me. I know some of the people in the business and things like that. I have mad respect for those cats. And that is simply outside my wheelhouse. I'm 55 years old. I will never attain those skills or that amount of knowledge to do something like that. But what I can do is I can put on a hell of a rock and roll show. I can stick it in a venue that has 2 stages, one at each end. And I can put a wrestling ring in the middle between those stages. And I can combine the two. That's my concept. That's my idea.
Well, yeah, we're going to talk more about that. Now, Matthias, would you be willing to go down and work with Ms. Crane for that?
Well, am I talking now?
You got 5 minutes.
All right, well, yes, you are talking to the man.
Moving out
from,
your mouth. You're talking.
Well, yes, you are talking to the man from every woman's greatest dream and every man's worst nightmare, North Dakota's number one heel, current reigning, defending, undisputed APW World Heavyweight Champion, NSC World Tag Team Champion, General Manager of Flashback Pro Wrestling, and honorary member of the New World Order, Matthias. Welcome onto my part of the program. You know, as Icon likes to, he normally introduces me and that I get to do my little thing, but he kind of just said if I was willing to ask, so I didn't know if he wanted me just to answer the solo question and then take over again, but you know, I'm always down to participate in any kind of opportunity that involves me being in a wrestling ring. And I have actually participated at shows where there was music between the shows, or there was a rock and roll show, and then there was the wrestling. I've been through a lot of that kind of stuff, so any opportunity is welcomed. It's just talking of terms and such as that. But I guess I'll ask one quick question that we can discuss things further. But as a performer, you know, sometimes people tend to get the pre-show jitters, or right as soon as they're right about to go on, they just get this nervous, sick feeling in their stomach. And the second they go out on stage, you know, it all goes away. Do you still have that throughout the years you've been playing? Or is it kind of just, you know, you're ready to perform at all times, and as soon as your music hits, you're on?
I've never had that. I was born to rock and roll. And literally, my mother belonged to a record club when I was just like 6 or 7 years old, one of the old school record clubs, because I'm old. Trust me, I'm old. And it was one of the ones that would send you the record of the month if you didn't send back the little card in the mail. And so you'd get it whether you wanted it or not. So I was 6 or 7 years old, and my mother got Kiss Destroyer as the record of the month. And she gave it to me because she didn't want it. And I was entranced. Kiss looked like superheroes. I wanted to be Gene Simmons. I didn't even know he played a guitar or anything. I just knew I wanted to be Gene Simmons. Little did I know that for the next, like, 40 years of my life, I'd be on stage playing rock and roll and wearing just about as much makeup as he wears. And so it's just always been a natural fit. That's where I feel I belong. I've tried to do the day job gig. I've been successful at a number of things, but it's always been faked. Rock and roll is the only thing that's ever been completely real for me.
Fair enough, and that's really exactly how I feel about wrestling, whereas I can go and do, you know, the day job and stuff like that, but to me, it doesn't feel any better than getting inside a wrestling ring and getting to take your anger out on somebody and make them your personal victim where you're punching them in the face and, you know, having the crowd try to get them to beat you and then you just get to embarrass them just like you're embarrassing
personal
the
victim.
Crowd.
I like that term. I think I dated a couple personal victims. Anyway.
Because the one thing with the one personal thing or one thing about professional wrestling that I love to do is, you know, whereas, you know, some people that, you know, they'll play music or whatever, their emotions go through their music. Or, you know, if you're a comedian, you get to, you know, go out on that stage and you get to make people laugh, and that kind of is your way to relieve your stress. Well, you know, if Icon says something that irritates me throughout the week, or, you know, some person on the street looks at me sideways, or if I go to a club and I'm doing my own thing and some person comes up trying to fight me, well, that weekend when I'm inside the middle of the wrestling ring, I get to take that out on my personal victim. And I actually will not get any trouble for it because it's all perfectly legal. So that's what I like to say. I like to be able to take my stress out physically on somebody who doesn't see it coming, and I can actually do it perfectly legal and get paid to do it. So it's always a pleasure of mine, and that's the only thing that ever feels real to me. And as I was going to say with that whole jitter thing, you know, right before I go out there, you know, I mean, yeah, I may get that little like stomach that says, you know, go out there and, you know, do some good things, you know, and be a good person. But then I've always got that devilish side that says, ah, the hell with them. Go do what you want to do and embarrass your opponent and make them hate you even more than they already do. And that's exactly what I get to do. I get to actually make people angry like they made me, and I get to hurt somebody and get paid to do it. So it's nothing better. Absolutely nothing better.
That sounds absolutely beautiful. Because why on earth would you think that I'm not evil?
Exactly.
I would
love
to do that. If I ever actually step into a wrestling ring, and there's a few people that are trying to get me to do that, I would do it as a heel because I want to make the audience hate me, and I think I can do it.
Well, absolutely, you know, and it's so much more wonderful to get the people to hate you and go out of their comfort zone, because you can get anybody to say good job or congratulations, you know, good job, you're a great guy, I love you. But it really takes the dirtiest, greasiest, nastiest, foul-mouthed guy to get somebody to hate you, to stay hating you, to the point where they want to jump that barricade and fight you. And it's so awesome, you know, to watch. As soon as my music hits, I open that curtain and I feel the sea and the flood of booze and you suck and all these horrible things that get said my way. And I either get to A, slap the taste out of their mouth, B, say even worse things to them and put them out of their misery and embarrass them in front of their family and friends, Or I can just, you know, put my hands on them if I so choose, but they really got to do that first. But I've had it where I've had to shove a couple people in their seats because they were poking me a little too hard. And then I climb in the ring, and they're cheering for my opponent, and I'm sitting there choking the life out of them, and they're begging. And it's like, and I even look at them straight in the eyes because I want them to feel like it's me doing it to them, and they want to get their shot at me, but they can't because they paid a ticket, and they got to sit their butt down, and they can't do anything about it. But if they do, well, as I like to tell people before I get in the ring, if you step in between these ropes, it's your funeral.
Yeah, absolutely. I fully hear that.
We have Tempest Crane. Tempest Crane is our guest here on 89.1 Ken's FM, and we got about 10 minutes left. And for those of you who listen to our show on a regular basis, if you go to our Facebook page, Attitude Era Monday Live Monday, like that, go to 89.1 Ken's FM page, like that, do a $10 a month donation to the Power of the Tower. We'll get you automatically qualified to win an autographed picture from a past guest, current guest, or future guest. And Tempest, I do believe you would be would you be willing to send us a few autographs for some autographs for giveaways?
Absolutely, absolutely. What do you want autographed?
Well, whatever you can do. If you can do like a CD or a picture, whatever you got, we'd be willing to
okay,
do anything.
I can find things to give you.
All right, cool. And then
I'm a dominatrix as well, so I can find all kinds of things to give you.
Even a weapon?
Just
no.
Might hurt, so you might like it.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. You can even give Matthias a whooping or one of his. What was it, Matthias? Well, you were yelling at some fans last week, and you got a. Where was that 2 weeks ago when you had a hoarse voice? And it would have been good to have Tempest ringside there for you. She could have helped you out. You guys could have double teamed the hecklers in the crowd.
Well, it wasn't really a heckler. It was more of a 9-year-old girl with glasses who had buck teeth wider than the state of Kansas. And it agitated me because she thinks she could run her mouth at me and tell me to shut up. And I basically told her dad either put her in her place or I'm going to have to throw her out of this building. And I told her, you know, shut up and leave me alone and let me speak. And she wouldn't do it. And, of course, our microphone didn't work. So, you know, it's always nice to have, you know, a little bit of a mouthpiece that can either get her – that can get a little louder than me. With my loud voice, it finally got her to shut up and sit down. But, of course, then it affected my voice later on. But if I do have a mouthpiece who sings rock and roll music, well, I'm pretty sure that person can get louder, higher, and have more of a definite voice, where I like to keep myself low, cool, calm, and collected and taunty. That person can get louder, brasher, that kind of thing. And, you know, if I really need somebody to, you know, shut up, if I can't do it, they could.
All right, we have about 10 minutes left. Yes, we got about 8 minutes. One thing I do want to ask real quick, you know, your cool wardrobes when you're performing on stage. Now, do you make all your costumes, or do you buy them, or do people like say, hey, I want you to wear this outfit I made on stage? How do you come up with your attire?
Well, everything starts off the rack at one point or another, and then I kind of go to town on it. I don't want anything that looks like I bought it at Hot Topic or I bought it at some rock and roll shop or things like that. I want something that specifically identifies with my character and my demeanor. And so I'll buy something, and then I'll get some leather or fur or gears or spikes or things on it, and I'll start attaching stuff to it. I'll just mess with it and mess with it and mess with it until it looks like something I'll wear. And that way everything is uniquely mine. I don't want to show up at a rock and roll show and look out in the audience and see another woman out there wearing the exact same thing as I'm wearing on stage. If I'm on stage, I want them to know I'm the reason on stage because I am like nobody else in that audience or on this planet.
Well, I know I shouldn't say this, but you, if that were the case, you definitely would be wearing it better.
I certainly hope so.
Well, you know, like I say, I've seen a lot of your outfits. I've seen a lot of your videos, and I love everything that
oh, really,
you.
Yes, and I love everything. I love everything that you wear when you're on stage, and it's just kind of cool that the style you have. Is there a special name that you call it? Because it's not really like a punk style. It's not really like a goth style. I guess more like a Tempest style. Or how would
it's
you
just
describe
me.
It?
I make things specifically around my own vision and my own stylings. I couldn't be anybody else if I tried. I did try for a little while. I failed miserably. So like me, love me, or hate me, I'm going to be me, and I'm going to do it to the fullest extent I possibly can. And I love the fact that you've seen some of my videos and things like that. You sound like you're so young, like you still believe and trust in people, like you wish to be loved. Of course, that's a character flaw, but it's a tolerable one.
I guess. I guess you could say that, but you know, I'm always gonna be a big fan of yours. You know that. We can, of course, there's a few things we can't talk about here, but you know what I'm talking about. We have Tempest Craze, I guess, here. We got about 5 minutes left. Now, when you are doing your sets on stage and all the other cool stuff that you do, Is there somebody's style that you kind of model after, or is there some of that like a musician that inspired you for how you perform?
For how I perform visually and on stage, probably the closest would be Wendy O. Williams of the Plasmatics I had mentioned earlier. As far as being an absolute inspiration for rock and roll itself, that would be Lemmy from the band Motorhead, because that man lived, breathed, and was rock and roll and nothing but rock and roll.
And when you're performing on stage, what is your favorite thing about performing? Is it singing the song, getting the crowd into it, or when your set is over and you look out in the crowd and they're just like, oh, my God, this was like a religious experience I just had, for lack of a better term?
Well, that's what I want to give people. That's what I got out of rock and roll, is I would put on an album or I would go to a show or something like that, and it would transcend my crappy otherwise life, and it would teleport me out of that venue or out of that hotel room or whatever I'm in to someplace a little bit different for a little while. And I love that experience, and so that's what I'm striving to give other people on the show. If I can make somebody go, oh, my God, I've never seen anything like that, that's my goal. I want to give them that moment that they could find nowhere else, and I want to give it to them in a way that nobody else on the planet could give it to them. The one thing about Lemmy was he toured until he was 70 years old, and he was over in Europe, and this is in December, right before his birthday, 4 days before his birthday, his tour ended. He flew back to L.A. for his birthday, had his birthday celebration, and died 2 days later. So he toured literally up until 4 days before his death. And if I could do that, I would die happy. If I could die on that stage and just have them cart me off, that's the way I'd want to go. I don't want to be old. I don't want to be in a home. I don't want to be, like, losing my teeth and all my friends are gone and everything. I want to entertain as long as humanly possible. And I will push myself to do so until I drop.
And so we can do a little bonus here again without giving the price of tickets or admission or anything. Give us that where you're going to be performing at so our fans listening can come take a look and check you out.
That is November 9th, Valhalla Fest at the Skyway Theater in Minneapolis. And it's 13 bands, two stages, starts at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, doesn't wrap up until 11 o'clock at night. I go on and headline the secondary stage. That's a small one, but still a damn big stage. So I'll be on that at 6 o'clock until about 7 o'clock at night. So come out and see me, watch me use the grinder, and see what else I have to show.
And if our fans wanted to check you out, see if you got a Facebook, an Instagram, YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok, which of those do you have?
Oh, it's dangerous to Google me. Don't you know that?
Yes, I do.
Tempest Crane on Facebook. Let's just go with that. That's a family-friendly one that's always rated PG. You'll never see anything there that you're not supposed to see. I can't say for other sites, though.
All right. Well, you know, that's what we like about you. I mean, there's that hint, and don't hate me for this term, but there's that hint of wickedness that people need to check out.
Well, like I said, why on earth would you ever think that I'm not evil? Of course I am.
You know, I'll tell you what, that would be, you know, you could actually do the event that, and I'll give this idea here. We can call it something else because I definitely want to help you promote the you know, because we can't call it rock and wrestling because that's used. But we could do something like have it like on December 31st, New Year's Evil, something like that.
Could be done.
Half wrestling match, half rock and roll concert.
And I would love to do something like that. If there's any promoters out there, anything in the area that would be interested in collaborating with me on that, I'm in touch with a number of other bands here in town. I've been talking with Greg Moog from the band Black Flood Diesel. It's actually their 25th anniversary show at the Skyway as well. And he and I were actually the ones talking about tossing around the idea of rock and wrestling in a two-stage situation with a ring in the middle. I don't know the first thing about putting together a wrestling event, so I need somebody that's actually willing to work with us, but I do know how to put together rock and roll events, and I do know how to get people through that door. So
Matthias,
anybody that's interested in that, I would love to hear from them. What's that?
What do you think, Matthias, will you want to walk through that door and help her out?
Well, you know, I can get a hold of some promoters and stuff like that. I know a few in the Minneapolis area that I actually wrestle for currently. So, you know, yeah, I mean, I could talk to a few promoters that are interested in running something. I mean, every opportunity is an opportunity that you can take or you should take. So, yeah, we could always do further discussions later on down the road.
Yeah, and it's something that if we can get this off the ground and if it's successful, we'll do another one in 6 months. If that's successful, we'll do another one in 6 months after that. And if that's successful, a way we can start looking at maybe doing them four times a year, see what the market will hold, see what people will come through the door and see.
And will you at least give me some backstage passes and maybe, like, sell programs and stuff?
Oh, you want to sell programs for me? You want to be my merch girl, maybe?
Well, I'll be your ring boy. How about that?
Ring boy, okay. All right, well, I know what to do with boys.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, Tempest, you're awesome. We thank you for being on with us. This is the third time you've been here, and we're going to get you on a couple more times to get you part of that Five-Timers Club, and we love everything you do. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on, and have yourself a beautiful evening. Cheers.
All right. That was Tempest Crane, ladies and gentlemen. Well, our next guest is waiting in the wings. We'll be right back. We need to take one last commercial break, and then we'll get to our next guest. And, fans, stay tuned. I'll be begging for a job, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The DJ Kolder Agency and Family Insurance is another fine sponsor of 89.1 Ken's FM. They're located at 4215 31st Avenue South, Suite B in Fargo. If you need car insurance,
DJ Coulter.
If you need life insurance,
DJ Coulter.
If you need that new teen driver insurance,
DJ Coulter.
If you need all your insurance under one umbrella,
DJ Coulter.
Need a friend in the insurance business,
DJ Coulter of American Family Insurance Agency, 701-235-6641.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle. He is our star director. Ladies and gentlemen, this guy is awesome, and he's going to tell us a lot about his projects. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Alexandre Ottavigo.
Hi, Scott. Thank you. My name is Alexander Ottavigo. Anyway, so happy to you having me on your show. Thank you.
So how are you, sir? Good to have you with us. Here's how we're going to do this. I'm going to ask you a few questions, and then we'll do a round table, and we'll come back to me and I'll ask you the tougher questions. But first off, give us a little background about yourself.
Oh, but, you know, as you know already, you know, I started filmmaking a long time ago at age of 16, and anyway, I did a lot of, you know, different jobs, you know, working as a crew, then as an actor, as a writer, and also as a stuntman, and finally to humble director. I mean, director is a big name. I would say I'm a filmmaker. I'm trying to make some some good low budget film. And I'm living at the moment in Europe, in Scandinavia, in Sweden. And voila.
And and I do appreciate you taking time out of your sleeping schedule, because it's like, what, 2 in the morning there right now?
No, and I, at the moment is 5 in the morning, so I wake up at 3. But it's okay, you know, it's okay, but no problem, because I like to wake up early anyway. And,
we have plenty of time here with you. We're going to talk about some of your upcoming projects, then we'll go to Matthias, and then we'll come back to me. Now, a couple of things that you have upcoming. Now, if this information is correct, you'll have to fire IMDb, not a producer. But according to this, you got a couple upcoming projects, Life Zone, Last Mile to Paradise, and Back from the Edge. Now, Last Mile to Paradise, me and Matthias know a little bit about, because we were going to do some voiceover that, but we just didn't quite get the inflection. But we still would like to work for you at some point in the future, because I know you got a lot of cool stuff that you have on the docket that you're going to need some extras for.
Yes. So this project, The Last Mile to Paradise, start in July 2023. And I did not have, honestly, a budget to make this feature film. So at the beginning, it was a short film, and then I decided to make a long film. And so I've been working with very, talented people, and I've been filming for 1 year. So I've been filming the full season, you know, from the summer to the winter with the snow. And I was also one man crew because. You know, in Sweden, like in Europe, it's very expensive. The crew, crazy expensive. And the service is not fantastic, honestly. So I say, okay, I'm going to do everything by my own. So, you know, I was filming, I was editing the sound. And then a few months ago, a miracle happened. Because the film did not have a chance to go in post-production, and I find the right people. So now it's in the good hand, you know, hand of very talented people from, by the way, they are all over the place. You know, they are in the U.S., in Canada, in India, in Europe also, and they are taking care of the film. So I'm happy
and,
about it.
How long have you been over in Europe now?
Oh, I've been there for many years. I mean, I've been living in upstate New York in 2012 until 2017. But I was not living full-time there, you know, just a couple of months and coming back in Europe. And then from 2017, I moved back to Europe, and but I miss America. You know, that's the first country in the world where we talk about, you know, filmmaking. You know, it's amazing how many talented artists there is there. That many independent filmmakers, and that's great, I think.
Well, you know, eventually, you know, we're gonna get you back here to America. We will get you. We'll come and save you from Europe. They may have a stranglehold on you now, but I have a man that can release that stranglehold. As a matter of fact, he's the modern nightmare, Matthias. What do you got, Matthias? Go ahead.
Well, yes, you are talking to the man from every woman's greatest dream and every man's worst nightmare, North Dakota's number one heel, current reigning, defending, undisputed APW World Heavyweight Champion, NSC World Tag Team Champion, General Manager of Flashback Pro Wrestling, and honorary member of the New World Order, Matthias. Welcome on to be part of the program. Yeah, it was just unfortunate that circumstances didn't permit well for us with one of your previous projects that we were going to be doing things for, but it will always be a great opportunity to work with you later on in the future. And I'll ask one question. I'll toss it back to Icon because I got to get some stuff taken care of here. But my main question to you, would be who would you say was one of your main influences growing up that got you into doing writing and stuff like that for movies and such? Who would you say is one of your heroes that kind of led you down the path choosing this career field?
Wow, that is a very tricky question. You know, to be sincere, because I'm over 40, so I'm still young, so I would say the generation from, I would say maybe when I saw film with Steve McQueen, all those guys, Gregory Peck, and of course De Niro, Al Pacino. I think those guys, they had a big influence on me as an actor, but... then move on to the director, I think, Coppola, Scorsese, all those guys, you know.
Okay. And then I'll ask one more before I toss it back. So, of course, throughout the movie process, you know, there's a lot of people that hold a lot of different hats throughout the entire process, writing, producing, directing, acting, et cetera, et cetera. What is in your opinion, one of the more important parts going into a film, and what is one project that you will never forget working on?
Okay, so the first question will be that the more important thing to me before everything is the writing. And you have a good script, then it is the key of your next project. And so far, I'm sorry to say, but what I see recently on filmmaking, it's a very poor script. So they can have a $500 million budget film, but if the story is not good, so they're going to go nowhere. Because now the audience is very exigent. So you have really to have a good story, and they are right. Second question, what will be the best experience?
What was one of your more memorable projects you worked on?
I mean, to be honest, one of the best projects I worked and was the film Inception with Christopher Nolan, and I was there as a stunt performer. And really, it was really impressive to see, first of all, the budget, you know, there was a camera everywhere, stunt, an actor, all the celebrities. So, of course, when you come the first time there, the first few hours, oh, my God, you are. But then, because I stayed there 2 weeks, then you see that those people are like you. We are all human, you know. And then you realize that the celebrity that you see on big screen, in the reality, they are maybe shy or very private, you know. Because I've been sitting with DiCaprio for almost 2 weeks, never say hello. It's an example. But I understand, I understand he's the star, so, you know. Yes. That was a beautiful experience to see this master. I had a lot of admiration for Christopher Nolan. I think, honestly, he is really the best film director so far. He's a genius, this man. So it's a great inspiration to be on this film. Inception was, I was so grateful.
Fair enough. Icon, go ahead.
All right, sounds good. We are back here, and So, you know, you mentioned that, you know, you've been in Europe since 2017. That means you would have been over in Europe during the whole COVID debacle.
Oh, my God.
I don't understand. I don't understand if you don't want to you talk about it, but as a potential broadcast journalist, I got to ask about it. What was COVID like over there in Europe?
Let's be clear. Sweden has been the first country in the world to not have the lockdown and either the mask. It means people can have the mask. Yes, they are free to have it. But there is no lockdown like the rest of the Europe. It means a company and school and business was open. And so far, they have handled the situation very, very good. Instead, in France, in Italy, all the countries, sadly, and in UK, and we don't talk about US. It's ridiculous, I mean, what's happening there. And so Sweden was really, you know, they handled the situation in a calm way. And, you know, you have to know that Scandinavian, they how can I say, they take time before to make a decision. You know, they don't jump like that. You know, they need to analyze. So then they think, okay, it's right. We're going to have a vaccine. Of course, everybody gets vaccine. I have been vaccine. I mean, I am not anti-vaccine, of course. I follow, you know, the rule to protect myself and the other one. But anyway, the situation wasn't very good here. So it was not a big deal to be under the COVID situation.
When you plan on doing a project, and then I got a surprise here for you. We got about 15 minutes here left with you. One thing I do want to ask you about, when you are writing a film, for instance, Last Mile of Paradise, and you're writing a film, do you write the film with people that you have in mind that can play the character, or do you come up with the idea, write it, and then fill in the parts for who could play those roles?
No. First, when I write, honestly, I'm not thinking about anyone that I know, and I know many actors, include some celebrity that I cannot really reach them because, you know, if you don't have a budget, decent budget, you cannot even talk to them. But no, I'm writing the story, and then I say, okay, who can play this character? So, by the way, just to let you know quickly, so this project, Last Mile to Paradise, in 9 post-production, and we are waiting an extra scene from New York, and after that, the film is complete, and it will be released in 2025. But now, I'm working very slowly a new project who have nothing to do with that. It's a story about UFO. You know UFO?
Yes. Unidentified flying object or
exactly.
AKA some of Matthias' opponents.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm working on something. You're good. So I'm working on something like this. No, I'm writing slowly a story about an interesting story about UFO, and I don't know where I'm going. Maybe nowhere or maybe somewhere. But anyway, yes, it's always a challenge, you know, when you write, because you say, okay, what I'm going to do now with that? Because, you know, they have Hollywood is falling apart, okay? So I don't know for how long they're going to keep going to make a big Hollywood film, you know, big project, where at the end they don't make so much money. And, of course, there is plenty of good movie, of course. You know, on Netflix, I have to say, we criticize, Netflix, we don't go anymore to cinema. Yes, but you can also, as a as a filmmaker, make a movie and sell to Netflix and have a chance that everybody see your film. So I think it's more easy these days, you know, like back in the day where if you did not have a big name or a big production like Warner Bros. Or any kind of big production, then you could not go have a chance to see your film. These days you can have a chance to distribute your film more easily.
Well, you know, you mentioned that when as a director, and you have a project that you want to go from mind to paper, and then from paper to film, and then film to distribution.
Yep.
As a director, we talked about this many times on the show here that it all comes down to budget. What kind of budget do you have? Do you have corporate sponsors? Do you have financial backing? Are you paying it out of your own pocket? So with that being said, and, you know, I kind of mentioned this before, of course, I can't speak for Matthias and anybody else, but, you know, and I put this out there many times with many directors that we had on the film, on the show, that if you have a project and you're looking for someone that can that would be willing to work for pennies on the dollar, which would mean I'd be willing to work for hot dogs and a place to stay on the set, I would come work for you, and then when the film becomes a big success, then you can pay me. But I just want to find a way that I can get involved with as many things as I can. You know, it's a way to get my name out there because, you know, you could tell people, well, you know, he's a great worker and he's dedicated and, you know, you don't have to pay him a lot. Just make sure he's well fed. You give him a couple glasses of water to drink, he'll be fine. But what would you say to someone that has that desire to do that to help out you as a director, or is that just like saying, oh, he's only doing that just because he wants to get fame and fortune? What is your thought on something like that?
No, I think if someone or anyone who wants to get involved in a film where, example, this last movie I did was a film with Normani. We did this film with Normani, to be honest, because every time I have applied for film funding in Europe, it had been, no, we don't have money. Oh, no, we don't like the story. Anyway, so I've been always denied until one day I say, oh, I'm sorry to say that, I say, fuck this, and I decide to move on, and I sold my car, and I tried to get a little bit more money, but still, it was very tricky because there were almost no money. So if someone like you or someone else who is interested to be involved, you know, as an actor or as a crew member, yes, of course, I would say, hey, you're welcome, but you know the condition here. It's an indie film. We are almost broken. We are trying to make a film. So, but I understand your question because, you know, by the way, I have to tell you, at 16, a friend of mine who was working in a special effect, he was very famous, he said, hey, are you interested to work on this kind of movie in a couple of days? I say, what is this place? It's in Morocco in the desert, and you have a few days there. And I say, what am I supposed to do? He said, oh, you just help me there, you know. And I spent like a couple of days, and then after that, the guy gave me just maybe $100. He said, okay, you know. And it was not for the money that I went there. I went there because I was very interested by this special effect, you know. And
So yeah. That being said, you are a film director and you're very talented. You've done a lot of projects. So if someone says, he's a film director. He's done a lot of films. He must be a millionaire. He must have a mansion in Europe. That's that would you would say how would you answer that question or respond to that if someone said that or thought that?
Okay, and I understand, you know, and by the way, I think the same sometimes. I have many friend director, you know, and most of their film are on Netflix. By the way, I don't have a film myself on Netflix. Maybe it will happen one day when I will find, you know, the money to make a big film. But so those guys, I was thinking that they live a fantastic life. So all of those guys are living a great life, you know, fancy car, great house, private plane. Yes, yeah, didn't happen. But there is many people like me who, you know, we are living just a regular life. I mean, I have to tell you, I have a junk car. I live in a nice place that I live in a house, but that I rent. I mean, I live in a beautiful place. I mean, the village, but I'm very, I'm not a rich guy, you know. And that's a bit sad because the people, I have many friends. I mean, I have to tell you, I received a lot of friend requests and email. I don't know how they found my email, maybe across my website. Anyway, many people want to work with me. And I say, but you don't know. I mean, I'm not a Hollywood guy. He say, no, but we saw your film on YouTube and we saw your stuff on IMDb. I say, okay, but you know, I say, you know what, I'm not Coppola. I'm not Tarantino. I'm just a regular guy. So the people think that I'm a rich guy, but I'm not. I mean, to be honest, I have very low income every month.
Well, you know, you ask how people got your email. I know I should admit this and don't hang up, but you know, this is the third time you've been on with us, and as a matter of fact, we've improved a lot since the first time you're on. If you're on, and Matthias, so you remember this, the first time you was on,
yep.
You had to hold the phone up to the microphone because we couldn't get a phone connection out in Europe there.
Yes.
But you know, the cool thing is, I want to say that. About you is your dedication and you're a nice guy, and you're wondering how people got your email address. Like I say, don't hang up, but, you know, they sent me a message and said, how can I get a hold of that guy? I want to talk to him. I want to be in his movie. I said, well, hey, get in line. I get to be in there first, you know. I was like, but here's his email. Tell him you know me, and that'll help me out, stuff like that. But, you know, the cool thing is as a film director, and we know that you want to be that, like that Steven Spielberg, you want to get Martin Scorsese, you want to get that, be that kind of type. But the one thing is, and I'll ask you this, when you do get up to that level and you're eventually going to get there because you're a great guy, you're not going to be one of these guys that puts his nose up in the air to someone like us. You'll still be willing to come up and be back on a show when you make millions of dollars, right? You're still going to be humble.
My friend, absolutely. I don't think it will happen that I will become rich with the filmmaking, but if by a miracle I have a film who make money and I become rich, I will not change, because, you know, I know that many people say that, and at the end they change. No, I will not change, because I had many, you know, I have to tell you, I have experienced many time poverty, and you know, I saw around me also a lot of misery, and so this thing changed your life. You know, I have to tell you something. When you have a taste, the poverty, just a couple hours, a couple days, a couple months, then things change. Then you say, okay, by the way, we are all the same. You know, no matter money, all these things, we are all human beings. So I think I will not change. Instead, I will try. And by the way, right now, it's an example. You know, this film, feature film that nobody wants. Yeah, no, we don't want to put a penny in this story. It's not about the story. It's because I don't have a big name. When you have a big name, then you have a red carpet. But I did not have a big name, so that's why. And filmmaking is also a lot of a connection. And show and ego and all these things. What I have nothing to do with that. And then I find some very, very talented people. And I have to say young people. I mean, 26 between 25 and 30, very talented. I have a guy, VFX, have special effect. I mean, I have a crew that I could not dream. And those guys, they are saving the film. Because I have to be honest, I have many friend, crew member. So I ask them, hey, please, can you help me? They say, how much you pay? Oh, say, you know, I'm sorry, I don't have money right now, but maybe in the future. Say, no, we don't work for free. I understand, nobody work for free. It's sometimes for a friend like me. You know, sometimes I have a friend, pinmaker, they send me an email and say, hey, Alex, we have a problem here. Can you give some advice on that? Or can you help us with a cut, a film cut? Or do you know someone collaborating? And you know what? I always help my friend. Because my philosophy on filmmaking is filmmaking, for me, is like a family. We are all connected. So you can be in New Jersey, or you can be in India, or whatever, in Morocco, and we are filmmaker. Filmmaker, it means writer, you know, director, actor, anyway, music composer. So if we can help each other, we help. And I have to tell you, on social media, you have many fan pages of you know, about filmmaking, and they are very powerful. I mean, I'm very impressed to see that so many people, and young people, young generation, because by the way, the movie, the filmmaking now is made also by young generation, who have a lot of talent, and they have a new vision on filmmaking. So those people are the new filmmaking who is coming, you know. So of course, just to be brief, I will not change. I will stay the same if I'm rich.
And with that being said, in 13 days, we want to wish you early happy birthday. You'll be celebrating a big birthday, I do believe, that you turn 21.
Exactly, no, 17.
yeah, well, you know, your age, that's the new 21, as we like to say. We got about 3 minutes here with you, but so we can do this. If our fans want to check you out and see you, do you got a Facebook, an Instagram, YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok? What do you got?
Well, I have my Facebook, Alexander Otovejo, Instagram, Alex Filmmaker, and then you have my website, alexandrotovejo.com website, and I have my IMDb with always the same name, you know, Alexandre Otovejo. By the way, it's French Italian name. So my father called me before when I was young, Alessandro. Now it's Alexandre. So
and,
people can reach me. Yeah, welcome.
And, you know, the the cool thing about your first and last name is all they need to do is put your name on a Wheel of Fortune puzzle. All they got to do to figure out your name is buy a vowel.
Yeah, but thank you so much for having me on your show. Really, it's always a pleasure to, you know, because it's interesting because you ask interesting questions, and this is what I like, you know. And that's good. And I hope, I really hope that one day we can work together, you know. Maybe I can come in North Carolina and start a scene there. Who knows? Everything is possible.
Well, I'll tell you what. If we can get you to North Dakota, we will welcome you in with open arms, and we'll do everything that we can to work for you. Like I say, I'll work for free. Once, like I say, the music, the movie makes $1 million, then you can pay me. But when you need someone, I'm here for you. All you got to do is let me know.
Thank you so much, Scott. Yeah, and I hope to, because, I mean, I'm sure it's beautiful North Dakota. I never get a chance to be there. And, wow, it will be interesting to be there. And by the way, this is the last day of the election. So what's going to happen here?
Well, I'll tell you what. We're our pins and needles because we're because we're an independent station, we really can't give our opinions. But
absolutely.
There's a lot of us that are leaning one way, and there's a lot of people that are leaning the other way. So I know there's some stuff, but I know who I would like to see victorious. I know Matthias feels the same way. Who he'd like to see victorious. And what I'll do is I'll send you my pick on Messenger. You have been so wonderful, sir. Thank you for being back on with us. And we'll have you back on again. And get some sleep.
Thank you so much, Scott. Have a beautiful night, I guess, there. And talk to you soon. Thank you. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Hey, Matthias, that was another super show. We had some fun, didn't we?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
There's an interesting thing that there's a rumor that Patrick Mahomes got hurt during the football game tonight, that he might be out.
Oh, boy.
Can you imagine that?
Oh, I mean, anytime a player gets injured, it's a tragic event. But when it's a player as good as Mahomes is, it could spell tragedy for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, you know who their backup is, right?
No, I do not.
I believe it's Carson, isn't it?
That I do not know. I'm not, like you said, as you stated earlier, I'm not a big football fan watcher right now because I'm just too busy wrestling on weekends to really focus on that. But if Carson Wentz is indeed the backup for the Chiefs, he's going to have a...
Yeah, he is.
Okay,
yep.
Well, if it's true and Mahomes is out for the rest of the season or out for a few games or whatever, Wentz is going to have some really, 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 really big shoes to fill.
And, also we mentioned how Dak Prescott is going to be out for a while. Remember who his backup is?
Yep.
Trey Lance.
Yep.
Wouldn't that be something? Two former North Dakota State University quarterbacks jump into the mix.
Yeah, I mean, that would be, like I said, it's always interesting to see players from your fellow state go out there and perform at the top level. As we know, Wentz is pretty injury-prone, unfortunately, due to when he was with the Eagles. He got injured a few times. That really was a detriment to his career. Trey Lance hasn't really got the epic starts and hasn't really gotten that full opportunity because there's been players above him that are still playing. But, hopefully if Wentz and Lance get their opportunities, they take full advantage and nothing bad happens and they prove to everybody that they deserve to be on that football field.
Yeah, we have about 3 minutes here before our theme song hits here, but... with that being said, we talked about this. You and I are both Viking fans, and it was a great victory last night, as we talked about.
Yep.
The thing about the Vikings is, as you know, how many times we've been hyped up and how many times they've let us down more than we'd like to say.
Oh, yeah. The Vikings, it's never easy to be a Vikings fan throughout the years. But you still stick with your team, and hopefully one year they'll win the big one.
And, here's the interesting dilemma that we can we'll leave this for next week and the coming weeks. But, the Vikings did draft J.J. McCarthy, the great star quarterback from the Michigan Wolverines, who I despise. The Wolverines, not J.J. McCarthy. And, you know, they were talking about last night, well, what happens, what's going to happen with J.J. McCarthy? I said, well, he is going to be the starter because Sam Darnold, as you know, as a quarterback in the NFL, age is not a age in the NFL as a quarterback do not mix.
I mean, it all depends on your skill level. It all depends on what goes on. You know, of course, Tom Brady, he got older. Yeah, he didn't really – he was still pretty good, still one of the best quarterbacks out there. Patrick Mahomes, as he get older, he's not showing any sign of slowing down year after year.
How about Aaron Rodgers? He's really slowing.
Well, Aaron Rodgers is playing for a team that's not really good. If he stayed on the Packers, I'd say he'd still be mint with the receivers that he had. If he had his old team, he'd still be up there in the high stuff with the quarterbacks because his O-line was so good. He would have 30 seconds of time to throw the ball. You know, he had the receivers out there. So, you know, he'd still be a competitor. But, of course, he goes to the Jets for money, gets injured, and then just sits on the sidelines. And now he's playing again, and it's just rubbish. And so it all really depends on the situation. It all depends on your skill, the team you're playing for, because – really, a quarterback is only as good as his team allows him to be, as his old line makes him be. So, you know, it's never easy to have to take control or take the jobs over of the old line, too, because if the old line does not protect you, then what are you going to do? Then you can't perform as a quarterback. You're going to get sacked. You're going to be rushed out of the pocket. You're going to throw away. You're going to make bad passes, bad choices, which can lead to game-changing plays. So every a team is only as good as every single member that's out on that football field.
Well, you know, with that being said, our time has come to I'm going to do.
But like I said, really quick. But like I said, it's like our 2019 Invaders. Every single player out there performed their butts off every single game, and that's how we won the championship. Yes, we had a good quarterback. Yes, we had a good running back. Yes, we had great receivers. But if the O-line wouldn't have protected the quarterback, if the D-line wouldn't have gotten the ball back, we would never won the championship.
Right, and you also had a great cameraman on the sidelines, too. That was me.
Absolutely.
All right, well, I'll tell you what, with that being said, remember, it's not goodbye. It's just good night. Love each other. Care for each other. Be safe. Today, real quick here, is my wife's birthday, so I'm going to pay a little dedication to her real quick before our theme song hits. So we're going to close the show for tonight. We got another big show next week, so join us as always. And to my loving wife, I'm going to dedicate this song. And we'll see you all next week. So be safe, love each other, care for each other. We'll see you next week. Take care.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. Get me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. No, I'll stand my ground. Hey, baby.
Listening to 89.1 KENZ FM, KNNZ FM, Holly, Fargo-Moorhead. Independent public radio for Fargo-Moorhead and the Valley. Also on the web at www.kenzfm.com.